Good morning, everyone. It's another fine day. God has given us the opportunity to live and to see. And as we come to this part of our worship, I want us to think about three things: preparing, partaking, and meditating. So, preparing, partaking, and meditating. And as we cycle through these things in our minds, it should bring us to a place where we need to be in order to fellowship with God at this time. As David said in Psalms, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." This morning, I want to read from the book of Jeremiah. Saw that Jeff was going to teach that lesson this morning, and also that John was going to do a lesson on redemption. And I thought I might prepare something that probably could tie all that in and put that into context for this Lord's Supper. So if you would be so kind to turn to me, Book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, verses 18 to 22. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring back from captivity Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as in former time, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engages heart to approach unto me? Saith the Lord, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is a portion of God's word. So, this script or chapter describes pretty much God promising to restore Jerusalem after its captivity. And if you may indulge me to draw some parallels, it's the same way Christ came to restore us from captivity, from sin. And when we look at the word redemption, the prefix re, it suggests a do-over, restoration, or bringing back to, or restoring of the status quo, so to speak. So it means at some point, there must have been some slip-up, some wrong choices, some turning the wrong way. And when we even examine this, doesn't it describe a situation for all of us at some point in our lives? I mean, who among us can say we have not sinned? Who among us can say we are pure and fully deserving of God's blessings? And so while God was preparing to build a nation in a specific geographic area, he was also preparing to redeem us, to also build a new spiritual nation, a new covenant paid for by none other than the blood of Christ. As John said earlier, redemption does require action. And sometimes the magnitude of the action depends on the magnitude of the situation. So most of the times, redemption requires something new. Something that's never been done. I mean, imagine we're all on a team on the Super Bowl and we're down 20 to 19. It's 2 minutes left in the game. But in our team's history, we've never scored 21 points. It hasn't happened before. But this is what is required to be fully redeemed. And this is what was required of Christ, something new, something that's never been done before, to redeem mankind from the captivity of sin. And so, as God was promising to rebuild the city from its own ruins, God wants to restore us all from right where we are. And just in case somebody is on who is not a Christian, God wants to restore you from right where you are. You're never beyond saving. You're never beyond redemption. And even though Christ knew that we could or would sin, he went and died anyway. I don't know how many of us saw the little prelude in Jeff's reading where it said to Mike, who heard me saying that Ezekiel was his was my favorite prophet, but let me marry his daughter anyway. I found that funny. But it's the same. Christ knew that we could and would sin, but he went to the cross anyway to redeem us. And this is the magnitude of God's love. And while we prepare our hearts to partake of his holy emblems, understand the magnitude of what Christ did for us at the cross. Respect it, cherish it, appreciate it, and overall, honor it. So let us pray for the bread.